Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
Can it be that time again? It is. It is. It is that time.
Again?
Again.
Yeah.
It just repeats. It keeps going and going and going and going.
It just does, doesn't it?
Or as the great philosopher Stephen Perry said, it goes on and on and on and on.
All we are
Don't stop believing. Hold on to that feeling.
Street lights? People? No,
people?
That's a different song.
No, that's that song. But
is
you
that
got
that
it.
Song?
You
I got, it. I yeah. got the... You know, I know these songs, and yet I find that when I don't have... I'm not, like, hearing the music, I have a hard time recalling what are the lyrics. Like, even though it's a song, like, I sing along with you, I could, like, you know, totally karaoke or whatever, like... In a vacuum, I have a hard time remembering lyrics. Like, that just does not, it doesn't stick in my brain. I have to think about it or I have to look it up, which is weird.
Yeah.
But everyone's got weird things with memory. Like, I was talking to some people the other night, and it's like, I can see the name of, like, an actor or an actress and be like, oh, yeah, they were cast in this thing, like, 10 years ago, and it ran for this many episodes, and it was kind of terrible. And I have literally no idea what they've done since then. But I have that weird, like, for some reason... That works for me in a way that song lyrics don't.
Yeah, I have the weird locational memory where I can remember where I was when I heard something.
Sure.
So with podcasts, especially, like, I know the place I was where I was, like, oh yeah, I was in the car for that, or I was walking down this part of the street on my way to the bus stop or whatever. I don't really understand it, but it's weird.
Everybody's got different wiring there. It's crazy.
Everybody's got a thing, some kind of thing.
Everybody's got a thing. That's right.
Yeah, sure. That's what they say. This week on Upgrade, Mike and I talked about how there was going to be no news so that we could just do an all Ask Upgrade episode next week.
Yeah,
and
that worked
then,
well.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, we
Very
figured it wouldn't,
week.
But yep, nothing happened. Not much happened. Angela Ahrens left or is going to leave Apple. You know, no big deal.
Whatevs. We've been through at least one retail head leaving. What, three? How many are we at? I don't even remember.
She was the third, so we're going on our fourth now in the history of the Apple retail store.
No one thinks too much about John Prout, except for the fact that he was an abject. He was the wrong person
for
that job.
Bad hire. Bad. It didn't look not a good look for Tim Cook to hire that dude. But I think I was saying on another podcast this week, and I've also been quoting Federico from his podcast from Connected, that there's a Rorschach test element to this, which is if you have gripes, it's a little like, I mean, whenever some story comes up, everybody who's got their pet issue brings it up and relates it to it. Like, it's totally the reason, like the iPhone sales, and people are like, aha, this is because my phone, you know, I had a bad experience with an iPhone, and Apple retail is like, it's like, aha, this is all happening because my personal issue with the retail stores. You know, I think there are lots of issues with the retail stores, but I'm not entirely convinced that I mean, a lot of those things were issues before.
Yeah,
Angela took over. Like the fact that it's hard sometimes to know like where to go and who to talk to. Like that was happening when Ron Johnson was in charge. That is a long-standing weirdness about Apple that they keep changing it, but it's still an issue. And I mean, I don't have any real insider information, but I'll tell you. I have a hard time believing that Angela didn't do exactly what she was hired to do.
Oh, sure.
It may be that their needs have changed, and it may be that she's not interested in going where they want to go. Maybe I honestly don't know. You're right. Who knows what is going on behind the scenes? But like the stuff that she was focused on, I truly believe is the stuff she was hired to do. And if we have issues with you know, our gripes about Apple retail, I don't think it's necessarily Angela Ahrens who should get the blame lumped on her. I think it's probably like all of the Apple executive team who seems to have some strange ideas about retail.
Yeah, no, I mean, ultimately, you know, she reports to Tim Cook, right? So to an argument, there's an argument that Tim Cook is responsible for whatever goes wrong because the buck stops with him.
And exactly.
I agree. I mean, I think they have a very specific idea of what they want the Apple stores to be. I don't think that's necessarily what a lot of people are looking for in a store. But that is the decision that they've made. And Some of it is that Apple is a victim of its own success, because the number one thing I hear about people complaining about is just how crowded it is, right? And how hard it is to get an appointment. And part of that is because there are just so many Apple customers. And even though Apple has so many stores, it's just not enough, I think, for the amount of volume that they have to deal with. Like, honestly, in some ways, it would be better if they had, like, a separate store that was like, this is the support store and this is the showroom, right? Like, I don't know, kind of like, I feel like I go into, you know, you go into a car dealership, right? And you go up front, there's like all the showroom with all the cars and the guys who's trying to sell you cars, and, you know, you can go sit in them and all that. And then you go into the back and there's the service center, which is, you know, oftentimes a little more greasy, a little more, you know, sort of down to earth. But that is where the business gets done. And if your stuff breaks, that's what you want. You don't want to be sold 20 new phones when you're like, I just want you to fix the phone I already have, right?
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah, and dealing with the ongoing customers versus bringing in new customers is a struggle. And I feel like it maybe it's tipped too much in the wrong direction, but that's clearly what they're going for.
I think it's even more complicated than that, because it's also, they've got their whole, they put so much effort into this idea of, it's a town square, we're going to do events, we're going to do education. They've got the whole new Today at Apple curriculum that is rolling out right now. And which, for people who don't know, there's like courses, and the same courses are taught actually at all the different Apple stores. It's a global curriculum, and then the people who do it have to like learn how to teach these classes, and it's quite a thing. And that's one of the challenges, is my understanding is that those sessions are often lightly attended, and when they are attended, it's a lot of times by retirees, basically, is all. It's not a broad spectrum demo. Like, sometimes they'll get kids, but, you know, there's the challenge of, like, do people know it's there? And if people do know it's there, who's using it? And is it only one small segment? I'm not saying that it's not great for retirees. I'm just saying, like, if that's all it's for. And so there's, you know, that whole aspect of it, too. So you don't just have the sales. You've got the sales, and you've got the community events. And if you're just somebody who needs a new power plug or needs to take their Mac Mini in to be serviced or something, you feel like you shouldn't even be there, which is a problem.
Well, it's the redefining of that retail experience, which is not unique to Apple, but like this idea of like stores are places you want to hang out. And it's like, I guess when I was a kid, like, you know, we would go to the comic book store or the bookstore and like spend a lot of time browsing and like shooting the breeze and stuff like that. But like, I don't think we went to stores to be like, I want to hang out at this store. Like, and banks do this too. They now have like banks that have cafes in them.
Strange. An amazing TV ad that every time I see it, I think that is a parody ad, but it's always a real ad about where it's like our bank is now Starbucks, basically. But here's the thing. I've got a piece partially written about this, and that's one aspect of this, which is this idea that businesses, as retail, traditional retail has declined, businesses in retail have tried to redefine themselves as community spaces. And I would argue the cafe is the most successful at that. Like, we used to have internet cafes and things, and now it's just basically like, if you are a cafe, if you are a coffee shop, you've got Wi-Fi, people sit there at their tables and they do work, they bring their laptops or whatever and they do it, and that is like a trend. What's weird is the idea that suddenly banks think, you know, our bank could also be a place where people hang out. And Apple is like, we could also have people hang out at the Apple store.
I mean, the problem
it's a little bit strange, but it is a trend.
The problem with all of that is that, I mean, yes, cafes are a trend, but like, coffee shops where people socialize and hang out have been a thing for like hundreds of years, right? Like,
sure,
it's different, but it's
of,
like,
of course, as a salon for discussion, all that. But in our modern context, in recent years, it has become this second workplace, basically, that's
idea,
in the public.
Yes. Yeah,
and I mean, libraries do this too, right? Like,
sure,
libraries offer these spaces too, and they're not trying to sell you anything, or maybe they are because a lot of libraries have cafes in them now. Because, haha, it's all coming together. But this is the, you know, the library that Lauren works at, that they have, that people do that there too. They just don't buy coffee. They just sit there and do their work. And that's why they're there. And everybody likes the idea of like turning their commerce platform. It used to be like, no loitering, get out. And now it's like, no. We want you to feel like you just want to stay here at the Apple store, because then you're just going to keep buying things. And won't that be great?
Like,
which is a new strategy.
It's the ultimate extension of that. Like, you know, when people like keep asking you at stores, like, oh, do you need help? And like, you're just like looking at stuff. But I feel like it's taken at the extension of like, can I get you anything? Can I get you a scone? Can I get you a coffee? And it's like, I'm in a clothing store. Why are you offering? Why are you offering me coffee? Yeah. It seems very strange.
Bank loan, home loan,
low interest,
home equity loan.
I'm good. Yeah. I'm good.
Yeah. But it's a weird thing. But I get it. I mean, I don't know. Like the Apple Store. On the one hand, I feel like the Apple Store needs to do a better job. Now that they actually have done a better job in recent years, I've noticed, where they have more people who are like the catchers at the front of the store, who are, or like the doorman or the concierge or the maitre d', who are there to catch you on your way in and say, hey, welcome to the Apple Store. I'm Billy. What are you here for? Do you have an appointment? And they like, and if you say, oh, I've got an appointment or I need to buy an iPad or whatever, and they do like, go stand over there and I will get somebody to help you. And that is way better than just wandering in and floating around and being like, is anybody going to notice me? I think they have improved.
They always seem so flat-footed when I ask them about the specials of the day, though. So I don't know how well they're doing for that.
That is true. Do you have anything today? Fresh fish? Fresh catch?
What's the mac du jour?
And I do kind of feel like what I really want, and I know they don't want to do this, because one of the things that happens a lot to me is that I get the go sit in the bench in the back and eventually for your genius appointment, and eventually it'll be called, and I feel like I'm in trouble and I'm waiting to go see the principal.
You're at the DMV, right? Like at that point, it's like, I didn't want to come here and sit on the bench.
Well, I don't know if Apple boasts about it, but for all the stories about how Apple per square foot is the most lucrative retailer in the world, that is part of my experience with it, is that no matter, you know, maybe there are huge flagship stores for which this is not true, but it always feels very crowded, like they don't have enough space. And it's like, if you guys want to be a community space and a lecture center and, you know, all these other things, you need more, you need a bigger store, right? Like, you can't have these little stores in malls. You have to like take over two spots in a mall bigger and have more open space. And if you don't want to do that, then you need to scale back your ambitions here, because, you know, I kind of want to go in and have the, you know, have the genius bar line or whatever it is, instead of the kind of random go sit on a bench somewhere and eventually we'll find you based on your recognizance or this little beacon that we've put on your back or whatever.
We've injected you with a nano tracker. Invariably when I go into any of the stores around here, which are all in malls as well, they are always packed to the gills and there are people sitting
waiting.
And a lot of times I'm just popping in because I'm like, oh, I'll just, you know, I got like a few minutes to kill while I'm at the mall. I'll just look over if I haven't seen some new product that's out or whatever. You know, I'll spend 5-10 minutes in there. But like, I it's been a while since I've gone in for support, because it's just so crazy. Like, I have, you know, I've had this like ongoing issue with my MacBook Air where the battery is kind of freaking out a little bit. It's like, I'm gonna take it in, but do I want to spend an hour sitting at the Apple Store? Nah, it's fine. It's like going to the doctor's office. It's like, nah, I'll last another couple weeks. It's probably nothing important.
Yeah, right. Which is part of my feeling about it is like, well, if this is a community space, then I should not want to like leave and come back later. I should want to stay there. And so this is the push and pull of it, because I have to say that there's part of me who says that, you know, you need to refocus a little bit less on teaching classes about using GarageBand and more on servicing your existing customers well, for not just teaching them things, but like fixing their products and stuff. Another part of me though goes to the company store at the Apple Visitors Center at Apple Park and sees the fact that they've got a cafe attached to the Apple Store and thinks, oh, this is what you should do.
Right.
Which is, if you're going to do this, if you're going to go all the way, go all the way. Like, put a cafe in your Apple Store, and then people are really just going to hang out at the Apple Store all day.
Yeah.
And if you want to do that, you could totally make your Apple retail store the equivalent of Starbucks. The difference is that, you know, each city is going to have one or two big Apple stores at most, and a million Starbucks. So you can't really be Starbucks.
Right.
So maybe you shouldn't
need those bigger. I mean, that's the thing, and I still agree with you. Their footprint is oftentimes too small. I mean, yeah, there's a flagship. The Boylston Street store here is like three levels. It's huge. You could easily get away with that there. The Cambridge Side Galleria space, which they've just revamped, you know, within the last year or two, is still not big enough for what it, for doing something like that. You'd need a whole separate storefront.
Now, we should say we are living in an era where so much of retail has failed and is going away. And I think Apple's success in retail
is still better
than
most people. Yeah,
I think that's the thing, is it's successful. Like, we can complain about all weirdnesses about the Apple store, but like, people go to the Apple store. You could buy everything online. You could, you know, but that's the challenge, is that one of the things you can't do online is get your phone serviced.
Right.
And it does seem like they're prioritizing kind of mall traffic, street traffic, which is like, is that a thing? I guess it is, but like, over maybe the not so glamorous but super important, here is my phone, can you make this work please, kind of thing. That they, you know, otherwise, as people have discovered, if they bought like some other phones, like, otherwise you're shipping it off in a box, and who knows when your phone will come back.
The alternatives are definitely worse. I mean, it's one of the things that I always laughed a little bit at with the whole idea around an Apple car, right? Like, oh, where do I take my Apple car to the Apple store to have the tires rotated? You know, like, how does that work? Like, what is the setup for that? And like, nobody wants to sit around. I mean, I've definitely sat around at a car dealership for a long time waiting for my car to be fixed. It's an unpleasant experience. And I wouldn't want to do that for my Apple car, but I don't want to do it for my computer either. But I think this goes back to what I was saying at the top. It's, they're a victim of their own success to a certain degree. I can't think of another retail chain that has that kind of sort of built-in customer requirement. Like, you know, car dealership's kind of the closest I can get. And even those, there's not that many people in a car dealership on a given day. But it's not like you're going into clothing stores and seeing huge long lines for returns or whatever, right? Like, that's, most cases, that's not the case.
Yeah, interesting. I wonder what their long-term vision is for these Apple stores, and if it really is to expand and think of themselves more as a community center kind of thing, because they could do that. They are so successful and popular, and we live in an era where retail in general is kind of doing a belly flop because of the internet, that if they can make it work, then that's great. But it is like, it's a hard problem to solve. It is they have a lot of different choices to make. And I think I would argue that maybe Angela Arendt's leaving is a recognition that their conception of where this was going 5 years ago might not match up entirely with where they want it to go now. And I'm not saying they fired her, and I'm not saying she quit. I'm saying that my feeling is the most likely scenario is simply that where they need to go is not a place she is interested in going, and that they had probably a mutual parting because they're going in different directions. The other piece, by the way, that I think I saw somebody talk about and I thought was a brilliant observation, which is 5 years ago, they were planning the Apple Watch. And one of the things that the Apple Watch original conception about was luxury and fashion. And so I think 5 years ago, Apple and Tim Cook were really thinking about Apple as, you know, getting into the high-end luxury fashion world as a touchstone, like, you know, pushing that direction. And I think what we've seen the last few years is that didn't really work out, and they have backed away from that, and they've done some refiguring. And I think that may be part of it too, is like, Angela Arendt's brought them a lot of knowledge about luxury and fashion that is not necessarily the direction Apple's going in. And so then, you know, she gets to the end of her vesting period for her stock and is like, and it misses her kids who are back in London, and she's like, you guys are going in a different direction. I want to go back into the fashion industry. I'm vested, you know, everything's, we just launched all of the new initiatives. I'm gonna step away now. And you know, everybody wants drama, but I suspect that it is something like that, where it's just like, things have changed. and she wants to move on because the direction it's going is not a direction that she finds particularly fulfilling. And it's not like, if you do this, I quit. It's like, you know, yeah, I see where you're going. I just, it's not my thing. And I think there's probably some truth in that, but we won't really know for a few years. I know that people who write blog posts about like Apple being doomed and stuff like that, they want everything now. They want all the quick hits and all that. But the reality is that none of this is going to really have any even vague answer for a few years until we see where Apple is going.
Yep. I agree. So
I don't know. It's fascinating that it's such a huge part of Apple's business, and it's so different, and everybody's got a take on it, and people who have good experiences in the Apple Store rarely talk about them, and then people when they have bad experiences they talk about them all the time. And
it's a case for a lot of things in life.
It's human nature. It's Yelp reviews, right? It's that thing. And I've had some very, 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 very good experiences in my local Apple Store. And occasionally I have a weird experience, but mostly it's very good. Also, I have to say, thumbs up to whoever it was who had the idea that if you just want to buy a product off the shelf, you can just go in and scan it with your phone and pay for it and walk out. Because I've done that more than once, where it's like, I don't want to talk to anybody. I just want to take something off the shelf and walk out having paid for it. And with many products, you can do that, which is fantastic.
I did have my awkward experience with them a month or so ago when I bought a speaker from the online Apple Store and it didn't work, and I had to return it to the physical Apple Store, and they were like, I don't think we even sell these here. I was like, all right, that's fine, you know, just refund my money. But like, it was very puzzling to them. They're like, oh, dude, I've never seen one of these before. I was like, I bought it from the Apple Store, but like the online store and the physical store, there's a lot of overlap, but they're not exactly the same thing either, which is also weird and interesting, right? Like, and for understandable reasons, in some cases, right, you can buy, you know, refurbed Macs and stuff from your online store, but obviously the quantities of that are a lot harder to distribute amongst all your physical stores. So it's just easier for Apple probably to sell those only online, right? Like some things only online, because then they can sort of centralize where they are. But yeah, these are the concerns that they have to deal with. It'll be interesting to see. So they, Deirdre O'Brien, who is the new head, who's the head of people, and apparently has been there for a super long time and worked on the initial launches of like the online store and stuff. So somebody who is a career long Apple person rather than bringing out an outsider, I think is an interesting move on their part. And we'll see if that's like an interim thing or just or a long term thing. But I think that it does have some signals to kind of feel like they're not circling the wagons, but you know, they're looking inside to sort of figure out where the stores are going rather than trying to capitalize on stuff from outside and bring in influences from outside as they've done.
Right. And in fact, I would guess, and I don't know this either, but I would guess that what happens is Angela Ahrens has a bunch of lieutenants who will now report to Deirdre O'Brien. That's my guess, is that basically what's happening here is they've decided either temporarily or permanently not to hire another big high-level external, like you said, head of retail, and instead keep the retail team in place and have it, you know, basically have the head of HR also be in charge of it, which, given that retail is most of the employees at Apple, because there are so many stores, that it's not a bad idea to do that. But I would say, you know, the way that they've done this, continuity actually seems to be the watchword that they have, you know, people expecting radical change at the Apple retail store. Like, they took an internal person and presumably they took Angela Ahrens's team and put them under her. So really it's like no change. In fact, it's more likely that you're going to see minor changes rather than a big, you know, rethink, because they didn't go do a big leadership shift.
I don't know. I agree.
Apple tea leaves. Who knows? I wrote a piece. Every now and then I write a piece for Macworld, usually, that is one of these, will this freak people out pieces. And the one that I really wrote recently that I liked was the all the things from the iPad that maybe Apple will just stick into the Mac OS, because mm-hmm. it's sort of like just to make everybody who's a Mac user like uncomfortable, like, what are they doing? What are you saying? But this week I wrote a thing that was based on one line in Mark Gurman's story about all the rumors for the next 2 years,
ah, yes.
which was that iOS 13 will include a new home screen. And I know people have talked about this before, but I just took 800 words, 900 words to say, what could that be? What could that be in there? And that was a fun little flight of fancy about...
I loved your point. And the thing that we complained about even way back when the iPad was first introduced... You know, we kind of all were like, oh, when we'd heard all these rumors, what's it going to be? What's the home screen going to be like? And then it was like, oh, it's just a big iPhone. I guess that kind of makes sense. And then, like, the longer you spend with it, the more you're like, oh, God, why is this just a big iPhone?
Yeah.
Right? There's so much more possibility.
Even in 2010, I think all of us were like, well, okay, it's a spaced out iPhone home screen. That's a disappointment.
I'm sure they'll get to it later. Almost a decade later.
not changed. I mean, there are, you know, it's changed in the sense that it's got some new features, but they're the same new features that are basically on the iPhone. It's not any different. Folders, you've got folders, and you know, you can swipe and see the Today view, and I mean, but it's basically the same thing, which is this app-centric approach. So my questions were all like, you know, first off, one of the things that's actually notable about iOS versus macOS, like how you tell them apart, is that macOS is all about the Finder, which is files, and iOS is all about the home screen, which is apps. So, you know, on one level, like, okay, I imagine apps will be still the center of attention on the home screen, but perhaps they will be, you know, I think one of the top things that everybody thinks of about how Android does it differently from iOS is that Android has a list of apps on your device, and then you can put apps on the home screen, and those are separate processes. Whereas iOS, if an app is installed, it must be on the home screen somewhere.
Right.
And so I wonder about that, about like app organization and kind of arbitrary app placement, and if you could also have sort of a list of other apps.
Well, especially because these days I spend so much time on both my iPhone and my iPad using search to launch apps. Like, that is a huge thing for me, because trying to remember where an app is often a pain.
Oh,
if you've got,
right,
got
especially if it's thrown in a folder,
apps or something, you know, like I'm not going to page through like all my home screens and then find the folder and then page through the folder. Like,
right.
I'm just going to search for it. It's way faster.
Right. And if you're using Spotlight, then you don't really need to have those things all visible
screen,
with their own little tiles. So that was, I mean, that was part of it. And then I started to think, but there are other things, right? Like, file access, it's like, well, we do have a file system, so could you put documents or folders or cloud storage servers or something on the home screen? Maybe you could. I don't know, but that does break the glass a little bit in terms of the difference between like Finder and the iOS home screen. But I do wonder, since Mark Gurman specifically calls out improvements to file management, if one of the things in the home screen was actually accessing files in some way, or connecting or hooking into the Files app, which would be a big diversion for them.
Yeah, but one that's much needed. So,
yeah, and then the last one. I mean, I think it's great that they're going to do it. The question is like, would the home screen benefit from that, or will it just sort of be walled off in apps instead? But I think for me the big one is actually the widgets in the Today view. Apple has built this pretty amazing system of widgets, but you can only get to them by swiping all the way to the left, or by swiping down on the notification center and then going to the left. And you know, you can run apps, can run inside widgets, you can run shortcuts inside widgets with interactivity. There's so many things you can do in those little Today widgets, and yet they're all sequestered off, and you know, I forget that they're there. I just don't use them.
Well,
and it would seem so simple to allow people to place those on the home screen.
I mean, and the other frustration with them is that even if you do remember they're there, because you have to have this linear scrollable list of them, any more than two or three, and it gets unwieldy, because you're like, oh, I need that widget. If it's not in the top list, I have to scroll down. Oh, I scrolled past it, got to scroll back up, at which point this has become slower than doing whatever I was going to do in the first place. So I agree with you totally. Like, widgets have always felt like they keep trying to refine them, and the architecture and the power is there, but the usability really has never been.
Yeah, it also allows some sort of like more app activity to happen in the home screen, which I like. Mike Hurley pointed out to me that one of the things he likes about Android is the ability to, like, for your to-do list in Android, you can actually like press on the to-do app and say new to-do and type it in. And you never leave the home screen. It's like, sure. Yeah, that kind of thing. Or with the shortcuts, as I said, you know, you can run a shortcut, and not only will it run entirely in the widget without launching shortcuts, but it'll even like let be interactive and ask you questions and stuff. And that is really great. So there's lots of things you can do in a home screen item that are maybe things we think of as being in apps now, and it might be nice to be able to do that. Plus the ambient information, right? Having a little weather widget that shows you the current weather, having your favorite, you know, baseball team score in the MLB widget. Like, that stuff's already there. It just is not with the rest of your interface, and maybe that would be a nice thing to do, would be to surface those a little more so your favorites could be out there. I don't know, that's a thing people have been talking about for a long time, but it's one thing that they could do. And then the other idea I had was the status bar, like make a mega version of the status bar that's a little more like the Mac menu bar, where and maybe integrates with control center items as well. I'm not quite sure what that looks like. I am not an interface designer, but just it was a thought I had, that the status bar is so small because on the iPhone, you know, space is precious, but that space is not as precious on iPad. And maybe that's something they could do with like a mega status item of some kind.
I think there are many people, myself included, who have always wished for a way to more directly access things like Wi-Fi networks and Bluetooth devices.
Right.
And it desperately, like, Control Center was an improvement in being able to let you turn those things on and off. But the fact that in order to, you know, for me, I wear a pair of Bluetooth headphones a lot of times. I'll be walking down the coffee shop, I'll be listening to music from my iPhone, I'll get to the coffee shop, I'll see something on the computer that I want to watch. Obviously, I don't want to bother everybody else in the coffee shop. And I have to go to the Bluetooth, go to settings on my iPhone, go to the Bluetooth section, go to the headphones, tap disconnect, and then go to my Mac and connect them. Now, part of that is a headphone, like, the limitations of the headphones. But it could be, I mean, on the Mac, at least I can go to the Bluetooth item in the menu bar and go to, like, connect, and bam, it's done. But it is so cumbersome. And same with like Wi-Fi networks. You end up on the wrong Wi-Fi network, which happens a lot of times because there are so many freaking Wi-Fi networks. It's just, why is this buried like three levels down? It just seems like the Mac does this right. This is one of the few places where I feel like the Mac is actually way easier to do that than. So yeah, I agree wholeheartedly that if nothing else, on the iPad, Control Center is comical because it's still kind of formatted like it's on the iPhone. So you pull your Control Center down, it's like all the way shoved over on the side. And it's like, there's all of this space. I have a 10.5 inch screen. Why aren't you using any of this?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Befuddling. Befuddling.
I hear you. So, you know, anyway, that was my flight of fancy this week is what are they going to do there? Cause, that was a nice little tidbit from Mark Gurman that I felt like went under the radar because everybody was paying attention to all the other stuff about iPhones and cameras and things like that. And I was like, what does this all mean?
What's that detail?
And you know, it's a phrase, so it leaves everything to the imagination. So I spent 900 words on my imagination.
That's the fun
thanks,
part.
Mark Gurman. Yeah. Yeah. Anything else going on?
I wrote my Macworld column, this piece on this week on Apple's bug bounty program and why behind the times, which are, you
totally
know, happens to be a week where that was very relevant for several things, including that FaceTime bug that was found well before it became an issue, and Apple had no way essentially of getting that information or basically finding the right channels in which to put it. And then there's also been this Mac exploit floating around that the guy who found it won't turn it over to Apple because there is no bug bounty for Mac OS, which, you know, people are, I've seen some opinions on that guy's personal decision to do that. And I think there are, you know, different takes on what the sort of ethicalness of that is in both directions. But it does seem just kind of bananas that they don't offer bug bounties for one of their major platforms that they sell millions of devices for every year. Why why would you not do that? Like, especially when I always struggle with things where Apple's like, I'm not a finance person, I understand that it's complicated to move all this money around, but you literally are, you know, the most valuable company on
Earth.
You're
swimming in cash.
You want to get rid of your cash. In fact, you keep talking about that. Yeah. You're like, so pay these people, you know?
Why are you not offering this incentive to get bad bugs fixed?
Especially because a lot of these cases, it's like people, there are other like third parties who will offer them more money. And, you know, if you're Apple, you should probably never let yourself be outbid on those, because it's only going to be bad for you. There's no upside to letting a third party pay somebody else for a security vulnerability in your software. So anyways,
yeah.
Cool beans.
Yeah.
Slow week.
Calendar. Cal. Endar has taken us to Friday. It's nice. I like our regular Friday morning thing when we can do it, because it's it means that it's Friday.
Indeed.
That's always nice.
Thank Grond. I don't know. I was trying to come up with another Star Trek-y sounding alien.
The unsure what we're going to do next week, though, I got to say, because I will be traveling next week.
And I will have a conference, but that's probably after you're traveling. So we'll find
another
way.
Well, yeah, cuz you're doing Boscone again, right?
Boscone.
Which is always the same time as Gallifrey 1.
Yes.
So.
Yes. So well,
I'll be with lots of people we know in LA.
I'll be with lots of people who we probably don't know.
No, in Boston, which is fine.
But I will be doing a bunch of panels, including moderating a panel on Star Wars, so woo.
Well, we'll see. Maybe we can find a way to do one of our rare, weird, experimental remote iOS podcasts or something. I don't know. I got to bring stuff for podcasts. So it's fine.
We'll figure out. We'll find a way to appease Calendar.
Yes, indeed. All right. Well, thanks to everybody out there for supporting Six Colors and me and Dan. And we appreciate it very much, and for listening to this podcast. And until next time, next week or not, hopefully sometime, we say goodbye. Goodbye, Dan.
Goodbye, Jason.